to the world outside we say. 10-4.
Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Tune in to Radio for Open Ears, WGXC 90.7 FM, Wednesday, February 6th at 10 p.m. Tune in to Snack Point Charlie as host Jeff Economy features the latest releases from the Sahal Sounds label on Radio for Open Ears, WGXC.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory to take effect from 5 p.m. today until 7 a.m. tomorrow. A mix of rain and freezing rain is expected, with total ice accumulations of a glaze up to 1/10 of an inch. The hazardous conditions could impact the Wednesday evening and Thursday morning commutes. Plan on icy roads and sidewalks, drive carefully, and allow extra time to reach your destination. As for this afternoon's weather, the National Weather Service is forecasting increasing clouds with a temperature high near 37 degrees. Tonight, more rain, mainly before 4 a.m. with a temperature low of 32 degrees. Your forecast for the next 2 days. On Thursday, a chance of rain, mainly after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 43 degrees. Thursday night, rain and possibly a thunderstorm with a temperature low of 40 degrees. And on Friday, a chance of rain before 7 a.m., then a chance of showers between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy Friday with a temperature high near 52 degrees. And Friday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 18. Sunrise this morning was at 7:03 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:14 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 10 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 29 seconds more than yesterday. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For local news reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
And good morning, Bright Siders. This is your Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist, here with you again, just welcoming you back to There's a Bright Side Somewhere. I hope you're having a good day today. It's been an interesting day for me, and I hope you will agree that a day up on top side is a good day every day. So we're going to get this show on the road. There's a song that I want to play for you today, and it is a gentleman who says, nope, it's a lady that says, hold on, hold on. We're going to listen to Miss Yolanda Adams and hold on. I'm holding on. How about you? You holding on out there today? That's what we want to hear.
You've got dreams and you've got goals. There's a vision burning down in your soul. Hold on. There's nothing that you can't do. Gotta be driven, motivated to stir up the gift that God's placed in you. Hold on. The future's looking bright for you.
No matter how hard it seems,
no matter how hard it seems,
never give up, always believe.
And you gotta hold on.
Hold on to your dreams.
No, no, no.
Don't
you're gonna succeed, hold on. There's nothing that you can't do. Don't be discouraged by the trials you face, 'cause your beautiful mind would be a terrible thing to waste. Hold on, hold on. The future's looking bright for you.
The negative things in your life can make you think that your dreams are impossible. You'll never be able to overcome them. You have to deal with all kinds of things. Today, your past, regrets, all those things. You're even dealing with drugs, alcohol, maybe teenage pregnancy, peer pressure, violence. I don't know. You may be dealing with the thoughts of suicide, but I want to tell you something. If you don't believe in yourself, who else will? God has a plan for you.
To your dreams. Someone said that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King didn't have a dream. The dream had him. Anybody out there feel like that? You got a dream that just won't let you go? Well, you hold on to that dream. Don't let it go. You keep moving towards it one step at a time, one day at a time. Eventually, if you hold on, you're going to get there. How about that? You know, beloved, I've got an in-studio guest, and we have a call-in guest later in the program. We're excited about both. Back with me again, no stranger to the Bright Side family, and saying hello to all our Bright Side listeners this morning is Mr. Randall Martin.
Hello, Green in Columbia County. How are you doing?
Hello. Try that
try
again.
Hello to Green in Columbia County. How are you guys doing out there? I know it's cold, but there's a warm spirit here.
Yes, yes, it is. We've been hanging out already today. We had prayer earlier today, and now we're here and with a group of people. We had a wonderful time, and now we're here in the studio to be with you. Wow, it's kind of cold out there, beloved. Yeah, for the first time in a long time, I can't remember the last time, my car wouldn't start this morning. And I was on my way to take care of business. But we get by with a little help from our friends. I wanted to shout out Sister Dolores Anthony for being there for my rescue. I called her up. She got me where I needed to go. When I got there, Brother Randall was there. He's got me where I need to be. And I'm just so grateful, because it takes friends and family to help us make it through. How about that? Y'all agree with me? I know somebody out there saying Amen to that. Well, our other guest will be joining us later in the program at around 11:45. We have a call in from a history maker, a mover and a shaker, our first Black American Congressman, Antonio Delgado, for the District 19 will be with us by calling from Washington, D.C., and we're going to have a conversation, and we hope that you stay tuned. As always, we want you to stay tuned. We think we have some information to share, some inspiration to give, and as long as you live, you want to know there's a bright side somewhere. How about that? You right about it? Am I right about it?
Yes, you are. Amen. That's exciting. So he's calling in straight from the Capitol.
Straight from the Capitol. Okay. That's right. Right on the day after the SOTU, right? The SOTU, the State of the Union Address. So, you know, we want to talk a little bit about that, too. And a lot of time that we have. Maybe we'll get him on for a longer, lengthier conversation sometime. But, you know, he's an important man doing important things. So whatever amount of time he's able to give us, we are appreciative of that. Well, beloved, listen, I got another song up for you that I'm going to tune into. And this song, I woke up with this song in my mind this morning. And this gentleman, he's a young brother, but he certainly has a ministry in music that is ministering to me. And that is from Mr. Tavis Green. And his song is He Made a Way. Oh, my goodness. If you've not heard it before, wait till you hear it today.
You move.
Hey, does anybody out there know God to be a mountain mover?
I do.
I know that there are times in my life, and there's some mountains in my life I need him to move right now. I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting on her for that. How y'all doing out there today? Well, I told you about my little drama, this cold air out there. But you know, a few days ago, last week, as a matter of fact, woke up in the morning and went to get myself some water for tea, and nothing came out the pipe. Nothing came out the pipe.
What happened?
The water pipes in the kitchen froze over. And now, if anybody knows about that, or you know what I'm talking about, if you don't know about that, I hope it never happens to you. But should it be the case that it might happen, what you do is you get you a good blow dryer and you stick it under that kitchen cabinet and you close it up and let that hot air get in there. But check this out. So I had gotten this new blow dryer, and it took 7 hours. It took 7 hours. It took five and change for the hot water to loosen, and another hour and so for the cold water to loosen, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to be smart about this. The next night, since it's going to be below zero again, I'm going to let the water drip.
Yes, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, but I let the cold water drip. I'm thinking that letting the cold water drip would be sufficient. And guess what?
Did your hot water freeze?
The hot water... The hot water froze up again, right? So now I got smart on this one, though. I went and I got the old blow dryer, right? Thank goodness I hadn't thrown it out. So I got the old blow dryer because I said, okay, this happened before. And when I used the old blow dryer, it would throw out in 2 hours maybe, you know? So I got the old blow dryer and put that under there and it's thrown out in 3, right? So, okay, I'm good. And now I know what to do. So the next night I leave both dripping, or so I think. Because I wake up in the morning, turn on the cold water, it's cool, turn on the hot water, and there's nothing again. 3 days in a row, y'all. But let me tell you, I'm so thankful that I was here in town and that, I give God praise for that. He made a way, because I could have been away, and that would have been an issue. That would have been a problem.
A lot of people that bursted pipes. I know I owned a house where some of the pipes ran very close to the wall, the outside wall. And they would tend to freeze in that spot, and it was difficult. You know, at some point, I had the pipe split, and do different things, and you have to be creative. But you know, definitely, this is the kind of weather where you want to make sure that you're taking care of looking at your house and taking care of all those external things, where that can become problematic. Like I've got one of those sheds that I bought, and just before I came here today. It's one of those sheds you buy with the canvas roofs,
mm-hmm.
and I've found that I have to go out and take the areas where the water is pooled, and keep them from ripping a hole in the tent. So, or it's a portable garage actually, and so it's a time for home maintenance and just home care, and you got to spend that extra time, but praise God that it is. Warm in here.
Yes, it is. Thank you, God.
and I hope everybody out there is in a warm, safe place. And it is Black History Month.
And we're going to talk about that, too.
That's right. So we get to celebrate many of the accomplishments of African-Americans in this country. And as an engineer, I brought a couple of statistics about Black engineers and scientists, some of which I didn't know. And it's just great to be able to celebrate and as we stand on the shoulders of our ancestors and our predecessors and continue to do great things in culture and in society. So it's exciting and always a great time to celebrate and a great time to remember, our history and the history of our experience in this country.
Well, we want to definitely talk about our roots and heritage a little bit today. I did want to help somebody out there might be dealing with these cold pipes and frozen pipes and just give them a little tip. But, yeah, we do want to talk about that. We're going to talk about Black History and Black History Month, why it's so important for us to continue to observe Black History Month. We have some opinions about that.
Absolutely.
This is a shout out song that I want to play up next, and we're going to share this. And I am thinking that I want to dedicate this to our brothers and sisters in Black America, our Native American brothers and sisters as well. This one is a song that says, God Only Knows, and it's by King and Country. And God Only Knows.
Sound asleep and too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
You keep a cover over every single secret, so afraid if someone saw them they would leave. Somebody, somebody, somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you.
Misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over.
Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love. The kind of love that God only knows.
Hey, do you love it? I love it. I love that song right now, right now. That's the song that's in my heart. So now I'm playing it as an instant replay for all of y'all out there that feel like people don't get you. Oh, my goodness. Like you alone in this thing. There's a love. Look for the love that God has for you, beloved. Look for that love. It won't leave you. I'm here to tell you for true. Here it is again, our instant replay. The King and Country, God Only Knows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe it isn't God Only Knows this time. Maybe it's my help comes from you. And that's true too. From you. You know, we were having an interesting conversation, Brother Randall and I, on our way over to the station today. We were talking about I'm at a loss for words. I don't know how to describe that period in American and world history. What became the African slave trade.
Yeah, so the middle passage, the Atlantic African slave trade, where over 10 million West Africans were brought to America, as you know, between 1558 and about 18 the mid 1850s, this was a period of time. What we were speaking about was where not only was the horrors of slavery, you know, we talk about a lot, you know, in America, and you know, a lot of that is talked about in documentaries, especially during Black History Month. One of the things that's not really often spoke about is the trip that African Americans, actually at that time African West African slaves, had to take and endure after being kidnapped and brutalized in Africa and brought to America. And actually, estimates run between 1.2 million and 2 million people died on the ships being brought here, which is roughly 20%. And we kind of touched on the sort of incredible, inhumane, brutal experience that was, you know, after being kidnapped from their homeland. And it's, you know, it's an incredibly tragic part of American history, and something that is not often spoke about, but I think it gives context to understand what the journey has been about here for African Americans in this country. And that was just one of the things that you know, I've been doing some research on it, and hopefully I'll get an opportunity to present that information to the public in a little exhibit that I've kind of been working on, which will kind of detail some of those things. And even though it is a startling and stark part of history, I think it bears remembrance, because we have to get a complete picture of really what happened and what was done to people in order to kind of fix that in our memories to really know never again. Never again should people be brutalized and should people be enslaved. You know, and in fact, you know, in areas of the world that practice still is continuing, you know, not in the exact form, but, you know, in the form of the sort of extreme exploitation of people is still happening globally. So that's one of the things that we hope to get out there during Black History Month. On the lighter side,
well, before we move away from that,
yes,
because I wanted to segue into that conversation, but before I do, I got to take a pause for the cause.
Okay.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, WGXC Accra, New York. And listen, we are listener supported radio for open ears. So please, we are listener supported. That means we need your help. I was listening to an interview that Senator Cory Booker did with some people, the ladies on The View, and he said, you know, we're not taking any corporate money, any PAC money, any, you know, bank money, any big business money, any big pharma. We're not taking that money for our campaign. You know, we're relying on the donations of people who support what we believe in, what we're doing. And it is same for WGXC. You know, we are not taking any PAC money, any corporate money, any big, well, mm-hmm. maybe corporate if you want to send a check, but not advertising money, you know, not anything that says we're beholden.
Yep. Yes.
Yes, you know. And so we are listener supported, much like Randall and I. Hallelujah. But we asking for you to, you know, support us. If you have open ears, you like what you hear, open up your heart, open up your purse strings, open up your pocketbooks, your wallet books, your credit cards, you know, swiping book thing. And remember us as you go through your life. Remember us from time to time. We are so appreciative. And we just appreciate the opportunity to be here and to talk with you. So getting back to what I wanted to say before I took a pause for the cause is that I played that song, or it played itself. I was trying to play for instant replay, God only knows. But, you know, my help comes from you, because we were talking about mm-hmm. that 1.8 million or something like that people died in Africa when they were trying to get them over here. They didn't even leave the shores and they died.
Well, that actually, tragically, is as history reports, is a higher number, because obviously they could only leave from the coast. So many slaves were captured inland, and they were marched. And some of the estimates go as high as 4 million people died in the process of a forced march from the inlands of Africa out to the coast.
Out to the coast.
Even before the ship. So you're talking, in high estimates, 6 million people that died just in the process
of trying to get them to the coast, to get on those ships, which, you know, when we talk about slave ships, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the ships we see in the movies with the pirates and, you know, I mean, they were sandwiched in there like sardines for a 2-month passage. I mean, literally packed in there. Open up a can of sardines and see how they pack sardines in there. Open up a can of anchovies and see how they pack anchovies in there. That is how they were packed. This is documented. This is in picture and photograph and have been recreated in several museums around the country. So, you know, to be in that, like I was saying to Randall, to even be able to maintain your mental state in that kind of a condition, and not only, you know, the trauma of, you know, being taken out of your family and your community, and then, you know, by these people you've never seen before, don't know who they are, where they're from, how frightening that was. And then to be sandwiched like that, going somewhere you know not, and then be that way for 2 months, released periodically to maybe get some air and hose down the hull. But for the most part, in their own feces and vomit, because you've got seasickness going on, you got fear going on, you know, urine, all that, the smells and the odors are just tremendous. And so, you know, we were talking about that. You were, you know, highlighting that. And then I get to the point where I'm thinking that, you know, I'm just going to jump fast forward to today and say that, which is something that we all say and know and share, is that we are the strongest of the strong if we're here. As Black Americans, we are the strongest of the strong. They went through all of that. Our ancestors did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's horrific, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But you're right, because then it wasn't like the issues ended. You know, once they arrived here, then people were cataloged and sold.
I'm still with how they got here. I'm still with that they had physical strength, spiritual strength, emotional strength, psychological strength to even survive here long enough to then endure what they had to endure. And then what we continue to do, that's how come I say, my help comes from you.
Absolutely.
King and Country song. My help, I said it played itself, y'all. My help comes from you. There is no way that we as a people made it.
Without divine
help and intervention. Yeah, absolutely. No way. So on that note, I want to share this song from Bishop. Paul Morton, and this song has been memorialized as part of the civil rights era, the marches, and et cetera, and so forth. How appropriate that we share it today.
Yeah.
deep in my heart, I do believe it. I do believe it. We ain't there yet, people. But we got to keep the dream alive. We got to keep believing that one day we're going to make it. That was Bishop Paul S. Morton and the St. Stephen's Mass Choir. And so we got a couple of more minutes, and then our other special guest is going to call in, and we're going to have a little conversation with him. Randall, you had a couple of things you wanted to Well, before I let you do that, I also want to add to this point. For people to have a reasonable response, if people say, you know, Black History Month, why do we still do this? Why do we still need this? But you know what? We applaud Jews for not forgetting the Holocaust, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was, you know, several years, less short of a decade, I guess, of that, you know, Nazi Germany situation. We're talking about 400 years here. You know, we're talking about we're talking about the most brutal. We're talking about the most brutal kind of slavery. And we were talking about slavery that's still going on. And that that Arabs and it is alleged that Arabs and Muslims are still enslaving Black people coming out of Africa. We don't hear about that, y'all. We definitely need to get the folks on board about that. So Randall had something he wanted to share, and I hear the call coming in, so we're going to be on with our congressman in a moment.
Okay, I don't know how much time we have, but, you know, when we talk about the incredible resilience of African-Americans, or what came to be known as African-Americans, you know, as an engineer...
All right.
So you might
want to
put some music on.
All right.
I think I've got quite a bit of information about this in terms of African American engineers, and people have really been great entrepreneurs in the spirit of technical development. And speaking of technical development, here we're getting a call from our newly elected Congressman Antonio Delgado. And probably, I'm thinking maybe we'll save this for your next show, and I can go into this in depth.
That's right, because right now we're going to get him live with our Congressman, our first Black American Congressman in District 19, New York State, Mr. Antonio Delgado. Are you there, Congressman? I don't believe he is. Okay. Well, we are going to see why he's not. And
I'm going to have to put on my engineer in there and find out what's going on. Here we go.
Yes. All right. We got a little help right now. We click stuff and push stuff and poke stuff. And we have our station manager here to help us. So, Brother Randall.
Yes.
While we are taking care of that, she is looking at the system and the boards and stuff. Because, well, listen, we done everything we're supposed to do, but he's not coming through. We know he called in. We heard the phone ring. Our station manager picked up, and she has spoken to his office. So we are just waiting for these technical difficulties. You know, we prayed about this morning. How angels, I need you. We need you calling all angels.
Well, while we're waiting, one of the things that I wanted to share was some of the technical things. My background is in audio video engineering. And, you know, as you do the research and you look at the technical and scientific accomplishments in this country of African Americans, they are very great and varied since the very beginning. I'm going to start here. This is an introduction to a more extensive talk that we'll have, but you know you have Dr. Shirley Jackson, who actually is still alive, and this is not in chronological order, but from 1946 to the present, made major developments in.
Well, let's see if we made progress here. I'm sorry to interrupt you like that, but no, Congressman, are you there yet? Okay, I got the 1 sec.
All right, we're getting there.
Well, you know what the song was? We Shall Overcome.
Well, it's ironic because, you know, Shirley Jackson, you know, she was involved in the development of caller ID, the fiber optic cable. I mean, her prowess in engineering. She's an MIT graduate, has a doctorate in nuclear physics.
Okay, I got the try now. Congressman, are you there? No, my dear, we didn't get through yet. Let's see if we can. Angels, are you there? Now, see, I could pick up the phone receiver and talk to him, but then you all wouldn't hear it.
Yeah, we all need.
Yeah. All right. Okay, beloved. So while we still work on trying to make this connection, as our time is running out,
I'll continue with Shirley Jackson, who again included her engineering and led to one touch telephones, the portable fax machine, caller ID, call waiting, and the fiber optic cable. That's just some of the things that she was responsible for. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, as an engineer, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. And as we talk about resilience, you know, these are people, especially you look at 1946, where oppression in the United States was still very high, and these people were able to make very significant developments to communications.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks.
And as we are trying to do right now, making this connection to our new congressman.
And you know what? You're talking about Ms. Jackson, but I'm also thinking about Ms. Abrams, who did the response last night to the State of the Union. She would have been, had she won, she would have been the first Black American woman as governor. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of shenanigans prevented that, but she was excellent last night. Are we connected now, Congressman Delgado? Are you with us?
I am.
Oh, wonderful. All see, right. We said we shall overcome. So glad that you were able to hang in there with us. And I have your good friend and mine, Mr. Randall Martin, in on this call with us as well. We're just excited for the few minutes that
Congressman.
Have to be with us.
All right. How you doing?
I'm well.
So, you know, we know that you're quite busy and doing some important things. And, you know, we're very appreciative that you have these few moments to talk with us. And, you know, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that you've been working on. And so I want to give you a chance to say something about that. But, of course, I want to say something about the State of the Union yesterday. So we got a few minutes, about 6 minutes left to do this, get these two in. But so, Congressman, I know that you put forth a bill. And shout out to you for your bill that you put out there. And so I want you to and also you co-sponsored. I mean, you've been busy. You only been in office less than a month or about a month. And you've been busy at work for the people. And so can you tell the people about why you worked on this particular bill? And also maybe something about one or two that you were very passionate about and you co-sponsored.
Yeah, I mean, well, a number of issues are of my focus, things that are I talked about a lot over the last couple of years, from healthcare to rural broadband to water contamination issues. You know, these are all very important infrastructure, but, you know, you can only control what you can control, and certainly wanted to make sure that I can focus on legislation that can move through the House and potentially through the Senate. And there were a couple of things early on that I was able to introduce, specifically the very first bill that I introduced, the Service Disabled Veterans Small Business Continuation Act, a bipartisan bill, the first bipartisan bill I was able to introduce, and my very first bill extends benefits to the spouses of service disabled veterans, which to me is very important. Also jumped on and introduced a standalone bill called the CLEAR Act, which is a part of H.R. 1, Historic Government Reform. And there, the point is to make sure that lobbyists who donate or contribute to candidates are disclosed on FEC reports. Currently, they are not disclosed on FEC reports. With all the money that is saturating into our politics and creating a real imbalance between corporations and working folk, I thought it was imperative that we shed some light on who, in fact, is pulling the strings behind the scenes. So very proud of that. With all the issues going around with water contamination and PFAS and the EPA's unwillingness to set max limits, as so it's reported, I also am putting forth legislation to identify PFAS, a really harsh contaminant, one that has caused death in health outcomes in my district, in Hoosick Falls specifically, to make sure that the chemical is recognized as a hazardous substance so that the EPA can clean up the chemical on Superfund sites. Been busy. You know, that's just a few things that I've been able to to get involved in, Disability Integration Act, another bill that I've co-sponsored, and continue to do the work as we move forward. And excited to keep working.
Well, you know, I was reading up on you and the things that you've been working on, and I'm very grateful. I work alongside with the head of the Veterans Affairs here in our county, in Columbia County, and I know, you know, all the work that he puts in, he and his wife put into, you know, working for our veterans, and certainly, you know, we do have some really good programs, and I give a shout out to the veteran workers. So glad that you're, you know, putting this bill forth and have introduced this bill, and also dealing with our environment and all of those matters. So yeah, and you know, whatever we need to do and can do, because like I heard you say that you work on those legislations that you, you know, are pretty sure that you can get some bipartisan support and get into the mix. And so whatever you need us to do, please let us know. Which brings me to my next thing, is the State of the Union address last night. And I read that the president talked about creating more jobs and opportunities with the industries that are going to be necessary for the future. And so here again, you know, along with your work in infrastructure and transportation, you know, the committees that you're on, are there any things that we should be, you know, looking at, talking about, you know, working with you towards to make sure that, you know, our district is on par with that focus?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things, and the president did speak about this, and I think it's important that we pursue this. We have to upgrade our infrastructure, you know, from roads to rail to broadband access and quality cell service are critically important. Water infrastructure is very much a need, and making sure that we are investing in renewable energy sources and investing in energy efficient efficiency technology. This is the wave of the future. This is how we can create jobs. All the economic growth lies in a concerted effort to deal with the climate change crisis by reducing carbon emissions and by making our technology function in a way that is more energy efficient. Those were all the, that's where all the jobs are. So whether it's roads, whether it's rail, whether it's green oriented jobs, we have to really be doubling down our investment for what the future can look like for long lasting, sustainable jobs. So I do hope that we can pass legislation that meets this need. I do sit on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. There will be a lot of legislation coming out of that committee, and I'm excited to get to work. You know, without this kind of infrastructure, particularly when it comes to rural broadband and rail and public transportation, we lack the ability to access markets. You know, our district is, what, 2.5 hours north of one of the biggest places in the world in terms of markets. Millions of people that we can be accessing to supply, you know, what we can build and what we can create in our district, and yet we don't have the infrastructure to tap into that. So it's very important that we double down on that, and I'm excited to get to work doing it.
Well, I'm excited about it, too, and this is, brings me to my next point. I got one more I hope you can hold on there for, which is when these contracts and these opportunities open up, you know, oftentimes the players that have been playing in the game already, the big wigs, the pay-to-play people, they get the opportunities, they get the contracts, they get the monies. Are there going to be any new departments or persons that are going to be working with people who want to come in to this and create new opportunities and new jobs for our communities? Because, you know, a lot of times Black American communities, people of color, we are new in this game and we get left out or we get pushed out. So I don't know if you have an answer for that.
I can't say that there's anything specific, but I think it's certainly an issue and one that I'm mindful of. And I do think that as funding is doled out, there certainly should be a fair and open bidding process, and there certainly should be a lot of thought given to how historically certain communities have been left out of that process. And to the extent that we can address that, I think we ought to. So I definitely understand your point of view, and I'm with you on that. And I think ultimately, you know, the issue is that we have an opportunity to make bold investment across the board here. which should have a meaningful impact. And particularly with minority-owned, women-owned businesses, you know, we could be focusing on and should be focusing on making sure that we're empowering those communities, no question.
All right. Well, you heard it here. You heard it here. One last point that I want to raise, and this is of concern. A couple of weeks ago, we had the longest government shutdown in history. People went for a month without getting paid, and you know all about those stories. And here we are on countdown to February 15th. I don't know what it is with this president, but it seems like holidays irk him. You know, now we have this hallmark holiday of Valentine's Day, and he's talking about shutting it down again the day after Valentine's Day. Well, that might put a damper on some people's holiday Valentine plans. But Senator Cory Booker, he made a comment, and he said that there is more power in the people than people in power. And so what can we, the people, really do? Because rallies and marches and protests and, you know, things like that, they're working on the state and local levels, but not so much with this president. What can we who have power as the power of the people, what do you think we might be able to do to help prevent, or do we just need to prepare for another government shutdown and a long government shutdown?
Well, I mean, I think it's always important to engage your representatives and to push your friends across the country to engage theirs, particularly those individuals who are sitting in districts where the representative has indicated an unwillingness to sign on to legislation for the purpose of opening the government. The more pressure we put on our legislative body across the country, the better. People do not want to be on the wrong side of an issue, and it's important that they understand that they are on the wrong side of an issue, and the only way they can understand that is if their constituents communicate that to them early and often. So I would just encourage people to not get discouraged, to write letters, to make phone calls, and to continue to hold their respective elected officials' feet to the fire. And
right.
I think if we continue to do that, we'll be okay.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you. Now, you didn't hear it from me. You heard it from the congressman that we sent to represent us in Washington, D.C. Congressman, we're about 10 seconds to count down. We're going to have you come back again because we're not going to have a chance to do a shout out. But I want to shout you out. They're going to cut us off in 9, 10.
I appreciate it.
Thank you and much
All
continued success.
Care.
We're here for you. God bless you.
Take care. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. So, Brightsiders, here we have it. And actually, I think we got extended a little time because the announcements did not come on. So shout out to WGXC. They're going to be cutting me off and interrupting at any moment. But before we do, I just want to say to you, no matter how gray your day, no matter how low the clouds may hang, the sun is still shining. There is a bright side somewhere. If you can, if you're around, join us on a Sunday at Shiloh Baptist Church at 6 p.m., where we're going to kick off our